Lord, we do speak your name. Lord, for your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. And Lord, while we go through so much, while we endure so much in our lives, we can speak your name. And you will give us the power. You will give us healing. And you are life, Lord. And we just exalt your name. We lift you up. And oh God, we just ask right now, Lord, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we endure in our lives, we call upon your holy name. And Lord, I just ask right now, Lord, as we've been singing these praises to your name, Lord, I ask right now, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, Lord, as we study your word, Lord, and may your word speak to us today. We love you, Lord, and praise you for all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's good to be here again today, this week, being able to bring the word. And if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to follow along, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15. It is Memorial Day weekend, and I know even at my age, I know I have a hard time remembering. And hopefully you remember where we were last week, because last week we started looking at the prodigal son, or as I called it, the parable of the forgiving father. And today we're going to be continuing on. As last week we looked at the younger son, this week we're going to look at the older son. And that's what it's about, the forgiving father. We have a father who's willing to forgive us. It's hard for us to comprehend and understand how forgiving God really is. For us, it can be difficult sometimes for us to forgive others. But we serve a Savior who is willing to forgive us no matter what we do. And what a blessing that is to know that. Last week we looked at the younger son who asked to receive his inheritance early, which he should have never done. He should have never done this, but it's basically like him slapping his father in the face. It was almost like him saying, I wish you were dead, because whenever you ask or receive an inheritance, it's usually done at the end of someone's life or after they've passed away. But he did. He requested it, and his father gave it to him. It didn't take long after some wasteful living before he just blew through all of it that was given to him. And after hitting rock bottom, God went a little bit further. It went a little bit further for him as a famine struck the land. And he realized that the only one that could rescue him from what he's going through was his father. He couldn't go nowhere else. There's nothing else he could do on his own. It was only his father who could rescue him. And he acknowledged that. And that's how it is for us as the church. Satan tries to lure us into sin. And the only one that can rescue us from sin is God. We can't do it on our own. Your friends, your pastors, no one can do it for you. Only God can rescue you from sin. Others, Christians, can point you in the right direction. But basically, the best advice someone can point you to is to point you to the Father. And then we're going to go to the Father and basically say, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. And our Lord will rescue us. But we see that the Son then returned home to the Father. And what a beautiful story is the Father then embraced, not just embraced, he ran to his Son. He embraced his Son, and then he kissed his Son. Then he clothed him in the best robe. He then put a signet ring on his finger, placed sandals on his feet to protect him. And then there was a great celebration. The Father ordered that the calf that they'd been fattening up for a celebration be slaughtered, and there was to be a great celebration and a great meal. And the return of someone who's backslidden, it's a joyful time. It should be a time of celebration. As I mentioned last week, it should be a time when you see that person that you know is backsliding, it shouldn't be a time for us to sit there and talk about them and say, can you believe what that person's done? Can you believe all the stuff that that person's been doing? Instead, we as Christians should celebrate that person. We as Christians should embrace that person. We as Christians should help that person get back into fellowship and get back to where they need to be. Just like the Father did, that's the same thing that we should do. So here they celebrate, and you see in the text, when he celebrates, it says the one who is dead is now alive, and the one who is lost is found. And that's kind of where we left off last week. And I'm not going to read everything. I'm not going to go back and read the entire parable, but I'm going to start. If you'd like to go back and read from what we looked at last week, it starts in Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 11. But today we're going to start with verse 25, where we left off last week. Luke 15, verse 25 says, "Now his older son was in the field. As he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants and asked what these things meant. 'Your brother is here,' he told him, 'and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, 'Look, I have been slaving many years for you and have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him.' Son," he said to him, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Again, it was a normal day. The son was just out doing like he did always. He was out working in the fields. He likely did it without complaining, or at least out loud anywhere, at least probably to the father. He may have been grumbling along to his friends, maybe talking to maybe some of the servants, complaining to them, but he was just out doing what he did, just working. And then here, he likely was tired and ready to head home and ready to just have some dinner, kind of like most of us do. After a long day at work, what do you want to do? You just want to get home, have some dinner, just sit on your couch or your recliner and just relax a little bit. Only this time, heading back, something was a little bit different. On his way back, he heard something that, instead of the quietness of home, he heard a sound from the house that was unusual. It was a sound that usually was only reserved for celebrations. It was a sound that usually only during festivals and different celebrations they heard. And instead, he's hearing these sounds instead of the quietness he's used to. And he heard it, and he's probably wondering, why is there music? Why is there dancing? Why is there this sound of celebration? The question is, I ask, why didn't he know about it? Why didn't he know what's going on? He should have already known. He should have been there with the father to embrace. So what he did, he asked the servant. What he should have done is just rush home and ask the father for himself. But I believe he knew what it was about. I believe that in his heart, he knew his younger brother had returned. And he knew that if he went back, he was going to really resent what was taking place. So what he was doing, he just decided, if I could just get word of exactly what's going on, maybe I can avoid the situation. Maybe I can avoid the resentment, and I can just stay out here and just sulk and not have to be with the father, not have to be with his brother. So what he did, he summoned the servant, one of his servants, and asked him what was going on so he could avoid being seen at his father's house. You could probably imagine the surprise on the servant's face as he asked him. And the servant didn't have to go find out what was going on. He didn't have to go seek out and find out why there was a celebration, for he knew what was going on, and he knew what the celebration was about. You see, in verse 27, he says, "Your brother is here. Your brother is here." And that would have been enough information for the servant to tell him, but he answered more, or his answer was a little bit more. I'm sure that there was a lot of resentment from his brother already, and a lot had already arisen in his heart at this point. But first thing, I've already mentioned, we really don't understand how forgiving our father is. Here, while the brother may not have been so quick to forgive, the father had already forgiven the son. The father had an unconditional love for not just the older brother, but also for the younger brother who had gone astray, the younger brother who had gone out and lived this wild life, this wasteful living. Those who have called upon the name of the Lord, those who have repented of their sins and are saved, those are the ones who God has that unconditional love and for. But the older brother couldn't process this. How could his brother have disrespected his father in such a way and the father be willing to forgive him like he did? Here, his younger brother had, in figurative speech, had literally slapped his father and wished him dead, but yet the father is willing to forgive him for that. So even though the father is willing to forgive him, the younger, older son was not able to. And here we see that the people of the village, even I mentioned it last week, they could have even had the son stoned for what he's done. But that's why I believe that the father, Jesus in his illustration, in this parable, uses the fact that the father ran out and embraced him. And that was also, not only was it showing love, but also protection from those neighbors who could have had him stoned. The second thing, not only did he leave the father, but he left the older son alone to do all the chores. Think about it. When somebody, let's say you and a sibling have all kinds of chores, and your sibling leaves, who's left with all the chores? You are. So here now, the older brother had all the responsibility. See, whenever the younger son asked for his inheritance, he didn't just ask for, you know what, I'm going to take my inheritance and I'm going to make sure that, you know, everything's taken care of, the servants, the land. No, all he wanted was the cash. He just wanted the cash with no responsibility and not having to worry about anything. So he basically took the cash and he fled away from the father so he didn't have to worry about it. So now the older brother is left with all this responsibility, all this extra stuff that they had to take care of. So here there's bitterness because he's having to do everything. And we see this a lot in churches today. Someone becomes backslidden and they leave the fellowship for some reason or another. And then what happens? Especially when someone who's a worker, somebody that serves a lot, whenever they leave a church, you have to fill that spot. Just because they're gone, that don't mean that you can just say, okay, we're not going to worry about this anymore. We're just not going to take care of this part of the service anymore. No, somebody's got to fill those shoes. Somebody's got to fill those responsibilities. And what happens a lot of times, someone who's already serving in one area now has to pick up and serve where that person is serving. And you see that happen so much in churches. And a lot of times you'll see what happened with the older brother happened. The people that take on the more responsibility, they start getting burned out. They start resenting the person who's no longer here, and maybe even resenting those who are here because they're not stepping up and serving. So you start seeing more resentment, and so what happens to that person, even though they're still here, in their heart, they're not serving in the way they should. They're not serving to please the Lord. They're now serving just to serve, and then they start to become backslidden themselves there in their resentment. But then after telling of the return of the brother, the servant then finished his sentence. He said, "And your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." This should have brought joy to that brother. He should have been excited that his younger brother had returned. He should have been excited. I know anytime I hear there's a celebration or a meal, I get excited. I get happy because I know it don't matter what it's about, there's food involved, and I'm happy because I get to go eat that food. So he should have been like, great, after working in the field all day long, I get to go home. I get to enjoy this great feast, this great celebration. But instead, did he rush back home? Did he have joy in his heart? No. Instead of being on the lookout for his brother, instead of being excited whenever he saw him on his way, instead, he resented his brother and resented all that was going on. In fact, not only should he have been excited about the return, he should have been there for his younger brother when his younger brother came and asked for the inheritance. And he should have been pleading with his brother not to do this. He should have been pleading with his brother not to do what he was about to do, not just to his father, but also to his family. And he should have been joyful about the return to fellowship. It's not, again, whenever those that are backslid come back, we don't need to talk about them and criticize them. We shouldn't be bitter about them. But again, we should celebrate. But this isn't how the older brother responded. He responded like many of us do. He gets angry. And he didn't want to go in and celebrate. His bitter resentment now had become worse. He had an opportunity to embrace the one who was once by his side working in the field. He had an opportunity to celebrate alongside his wayward brother. He had an opportunity to be there enjoying the singing and the dancing and the feast, but instead, he stayed outside and wouldn't go into his father's house. Maybe it had become late. Maybe the father had started worrying about the son. Maybe he had got word from one of the servants. Or maybe he was on the lookout, and as he looked outside, he saw the oldest son sitting out there all alone. But either way, the father knew that something was wrong. And he probably thought in himself, I just got back the one who was lost. I can't lose another one. So the father made his way out to the son and pleaded with him to come inside. Just like the father was awaiting the return of the wayward son, the younger son, he was doing what he could to protect the older son. He couldn't force him to go inside. It was the boy's choice, but he would plead with him until he did come in. Let me read how the older brother responded to the father there in verse 29. It says, but he replied to the father, look, I have been slaving many years for you, and I have never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. So here, what did the older son start doing? He started justifying himself. He started saying, showing all of his good works and showing all of his obedience. He told the father, he said, I did basically what I was supposed to do. I worked hard. I obeyed everything you told me. And what did I get? The older son very well did do what he was supposed to do. But what did he, why did he do it, basically? Was he trying to make himself look good? Was he trying to look better than the younger son? Was he trying to earn his keep? Again, there's nothing wrong with hard work. In fact, as we've been talking about, for those of you that have been with us on Wednesday mornings, works are evidence that you do belong to the Lord. Whenever you're a Christian, in order to be saved, you have to put your faith in Christ. But how do you show your love to Christ? Through what you do, through your works, through being obedient to the Word of God. But here, why is the older brother, why is he doing these things? Again, it's not just the work you do within the church. I know I've mentioned the church several times, but I'm also talking about when you're away from church. Are you working for the Lord? Are you serving the Lord away from here? But I wanted you to notice that the son didn't use the word work. He said, I was slaving. I was slaving away for all these years. It doesn't sound like he was joyfully working. It doesn't sound like he was working in the proper manner. It don't sound like he was working with the right heart. Instead, it sounded like he was doing it out of obligation. And that's what happens a lot of times. A lot of times we get caught up so much in doing things out of obligation. You start out working for the Lord because you love Him, and then all of a sudden it becomes a chore, it becomes a task, and you start looking around and saying, why am I the only one doing anything? And so then you start getting resentment. You start feeling it now becomes, instead of a service, it now becomes more of an obligation. Instead of doing it to please the Lord, instead of doing it to show your love for Him, something changes. It's not God that changes in this situation. It is you. And this work you once you did out of love now becomes obligation. But you keep on doing it, trying to impress God and trying to impress others. But church, you cannot impress God. Again, we looked at that on Wednesdays as we're going through Hebrews chapter 11. Cain brought basically a sacrifice that would have pleased the Lord, but there first had to be a blood sacrifice. He had to come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness of his sins, and forgiveness of sins only come from a blood sacrifice. Then you can offer more and go over and beyond with your offering to the Lord. But you cannot earn salvation. You cannot work for salvation. Salvation only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only comes for forgiveness for the Lord. You've got to come to God with a broken heart and say, God, I realize I'm a sinner and there's nothing I can do myself. It is only through your Son, the perfect sacrifice, that I can be saved, and I give my life to you. Then once you become a Christian, then you serve him. Then you please him by what you do. But this son was working for a reward. And he mentions that there. He had never had a fattened calf slaughtered on his behalf. In fact, he never even had a goat, a young goat for him and his friends. So he was jealous. He did all this work and had nothing to show for it, basically. And here, his younger brother who had rebelled, his younger brother who had essentially slapped his father in the face, who had lived waywardly, he now returned. And look at this great celebration they're having after his return back. After blowing through all this money that his father gave him, instead of spending it wisely, instead of spending it furthering the kingdom and furthering basically the inheritance, he just spent it unfoolishly, or very foolishly, should I say. Then the brother started accusing the younger brother. It wasn't enough to try to make himself look good and try to show, look what all I've been doing. While the younger brother's been gone, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, trying to puff himself up. That wasn't enough. So now, he wanted to belittle his little brother. So he started pointing out the younger brother's flaws. And he said that the younger son devoured the father's assets and hired prostitutes with the money. Basically, he lived immorally. He wasn't out working in the fields like I was. He was out just basically spending all that money on wasteful living. He wasn't living obediently. Yet he's been given this great celebration. How is this fair? And not only are you throwing this great celebration, but not only are you not giving him even a young goat, but here you're giving him that fattened calf. The one that I watched over, the one that I helped fatten up, the one that I took care of, you're giving it to him. So again, there's resentment here. He was angry and bitter and was doing whatever he could to help his case. But he would not recognize how forgiving his father was. Let me read these last two verses again, verse 31 and 32. How the father responded. He said, Son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Again, I want you to notice he called him son. And again, this is why I believe this text is referring to the believers who are backslidden. It's not referring to the lost coming to salvation, but it's referring to believers who are backslidden. The father told him, he said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. The entire time the younger brother was gone, basically the older brother was right there with the father. He never left him. He was able to experience the presence of the Father and everything that the Father had to offer. But instead of enjoying the presence of his Father, he was too busy working to see everything that his Father's doing for him. He was missing out on all the blessings. Again, I'm not condemning works. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with works. We have to work for the Lord. In the church, we have to have workers within the church. But anyone can work within the church. Even the lost can serve to some extent or another in the church and will even disguise themselves as believers. And you may never even know the difference. I can use a good example of this. Whenever I was pastor at Pinewood Baptist, there was a man who never missed, I think he missed two Sundays the entire time I was there. And I think he might have missed maybe two Wednesdays. He never missed church. He tithed every week. Every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, he would make the coffee. He would put all the hymnals on all the tables, and when it was over, he would pick them up. Every both Wednesday and Sunday, not only did he make coffee, he'd always bring me a cup and say, "I made you a cup of coffee." He would also bring me a water, and I'd always have water sitting up there at the pulpit. If you talked to him, he wouldn't say anything harsh or bad. Always serving, always asking what else he could do. So if the average person would have thought he was saved, but if you talk to him one-on-one, he would admit to you that he's never accepted Christ as his Savior. In fact, it wasn't until my very last Sunday, on the very last hymn of the invitation, that he gave his life to the Lord at the young age of 76 years old. Again, he'd been serving. He'd been married for almost 50 years. Been to church with his wife, who was a Christian for all those years, serving all those years, hiding and disguising himself as a Christian. And it wasn't until he was 76 years old that he gave his life to the Lord. Again, anybody can serve, but are you serving in the proper manner? Not only was his brother here working, he was now working over through obligation, and now he's angry. And he's hindering his blessing. So again, working won't earn your salvation. Salvation only comes through giving your life to the Lord. But when you do become a Christian, you've got to serve. You've got to work. But you've got to do it the right manner. When you do work for the Lord, it should be joyful. It should be joyous. Yes, you may get tired doing it. There's times you may get burnt out doing it. But we've got to just keep pressing on. And keep doing it out of love and just hoping that maybe because of you going over and beyond, someone will see that difference in you and they'll come to know the Lord. But here, the older brother, he probably originally started out working in the right way, working and being obedient for the right reason. And then, kind of like with the younger brother, something changed. Satan dangled that little shiny lure, and maybe he distracted him and made it kind of look attractive. And just like the younger son, he took the bait and ran. Now, with the older son, it was similar. But instead of running, what did he do? He ran. He stayed where he was, and maybe he hid what was going on in his heart from his father, at least he thought he did. Basically, the younger son is more of a rare case. But the older son, he represents the typical backslidden person. The older one represents the one that's here every Sunday and Wednesday, even on special events. Works and serves like nothing's going on in their life. But on the inside, they're broken. And they're not serving with the right heart. The average backslider never stops attending church. In fact, unless we really talk to them or maybe even saw them away from church, you'd never know. You'd never know what was going on. Again, it's important that you serve, but are you doing it for yourself? Or are you doing it to impress others? Are you doing it to impress God? Are you doing it to serve God out of love? Again, that's the proper way to serve the Lord out of love. The older son never stopped serving. Even when the younger son left, and he maybe had to take on responsibility, and his workload increased, he never stopped. Again, we usually don't choose to be backslidden. It's not something we just decide, you know what? I'm going to stop doing what I need to do, and I'm going to intentionally become backslidden. A lot of times it's a gradual process. It starts with something small, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what's so dangerous about sin. We may say, okay, well, this little sin's okay. But then that little sin turns to a bigger one, and it's the snowball effect. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse until you've gone from just kind of being a little bit backslidden to being full-blown backslidden. So you've got to be careful. And so important that we resist temptation, that we resist those little lures that Satan hangs in front of us, and that we seek God and ask God to forgive us of our sins and to give us that protection. Just like the father placed those sandals on that younger son's feet to protect him from the filth he was going to walk in. The same thing goes for us even when we're serving. We need that protection from the sin. God will protect us. We just got to seek, as we talked about earlier in the song, seek His power. Seek His healing. Because He's there to heal us. He's there to give us strength each and every day to help us when we're struggling. But here, the son is struggling and he's jealous and it's becoming worse and worse. And now not only did the son do all these things, but now he's returned and he's getting a party on his behalf. And I got nothing, is what the older son's saying. But even in his backslidden state, he's reminded by his father. It says, in the text, it says, he is always with him, and everything that the father has is his. Again, how often do we miss the blessings because we're either too worried about what's going on in other people's lives, or we just don't ask? All the older brother had to do is maybe ask his father. Father, can me and my friends have a young goat, have a party, have a celebration? That's all he had to do is ask. But he didn't. He was too busy worrying about everything else, worrying about what's going on. And now, instead of enjoying this celebration for his brother and getting to enjoy those blessings with his brother, instead he's sulking himself. And of course, the greatest blessing we as Christians can experience is to know that we belong to God. The greatest blessing of that son was to know that he belonged to the Father. But then Jesus ends the parable in an odd way. He doesn't tell of the older son repenting. He doesn't give details of his return to the Father or that he walked back to the party with the Father. Instead, Jesus just left the story open. And in the same way, it shows how he has left it for us. The story is still open. There's still a chance for return for the older brother to the Father. Maybe you're one here today who is saved. Maybe you're serving. Maybe you're attending regular. You may even be teaching a life group. You may even be serving in all the different ways that we can serve here at Smoke Rise. But maybe your heart's just not right. Maybe you're putting on a show. Maybe what you're doing is not a reflection of what's going on the inside. Maybe you're serving to keep your mind off of whatever unconfessed sin you have in your heart. We're given a wonderful parable here of forgiveness. There's no amount of works that will bring you back into communion with God. It's only by coming to Him, coming to the Father, and asking for forgiveness that will bring you back. Again, keep on serving. Keep working for the Lord. But you've got to ask for forgiveness. To the one who completely stops coming to church and doesn't serve the Father in any manner, our Heavenly Father will offer you for forgiveness too. To the one here every week and serving in all the manners, the Father will forgive you too. But here's the catch. You've got to ask for forgiveness. You've got to ask. And it's that simple, just asking God to forgive you. And then you repent. That means you turn away from the sin. And you tell God, God, I will serve you. God, give me the protection. Give me the power I need to resist temptation and help me each and every day, Lord. But here in this situation, not only did the son run from the father, but after all this stuff happened, and after he thought he hit rock bottom, it took a famine to bring him back to the father. And that's what's scary. A lot of times whenever you do run so far from God, God has to get your attention sometimes. And sometimes it takes hitting rock bottom and then going a little bit further before God gets our attention. Come to God before it gets to that point. Seek God. And whenever those situations do happen, that's where God is just trying to help you and get your attention so you'll put your eyes on Him. And a lot of times you'll be put into a situation where you realize there's absolutely nothing you or anybody else can do. And guess what? What's great about that is that the only one that has the power, the only one that has the strength is God, and only God can get the glory in that situation. And in this situation with the younger son, only God could get the glory. Even with the older son, only God could get the glory in the situation. And the beautiful thing is, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing right now, He will forgive you and He will restore you to the fellowship. But you've got to ask for forgiveness. And while we're talking about the forgiveness of the backslidden, and we see this parable of this great forgiving father, and we talk about these two sons who are both backslidden and both need forgiveness and are both given forgiveness by the Father. I love how J. Vernon McGee, if you read his commentary on this text, how he ends his commentary or his sermon on it, he acknowledges that there's a third son in the parable. It's a son that never wavered and never sinned. Not only did he not sin, he also perfectly lived by the will of God and worked hard out of love for the Father. This son was not a wayward son, but the willing sacrifice for our sins. It's not a son that's mentioned, but it's the son that's narrating the story. It's the Son of God, it's Jesus Christ. Salvation comes through this son. In fact, he's the only way to salvation. There's no other way. It's only by believing on him that someone can be saved. You've got to believe and you've got to confess your sins to him. And in the same way, God is willing to forgive us who are Christians and our sins and greatly celebrates our return to him. He's also the one who will offer salvation to those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. But you've got to believe and you've got to confess. You can work for God the rest of your life, just like Sonny that I mentioned a few minutes ago, the 76-year-old man. All the works he did, the great attendance, tithing, serving, and doing all this stuff that he did. If he had died there at 75 years old, he would have gone to hell. It wasn't until he gave his life to the Lord, until he realized, he came to me that Sunday morning and said, he said, "Brother Joey," he said, "I almost didn't come forward. But," he said, "I can't do it anymore." He said, "My knuckles are hurting from grabbing that pew so hard." He said, "I realize I'm a sinner." He said, "I realize that if I die today, that I'm going to go to hell." He said, "Today I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to ask the Lord to forgive me for all these years that I've ran from him. For all these years, I've denied him." He said, "Today I confess Jesus as my Savior, and today I confess my sins to him." And there at 76 years old, he gave his life to the Lord. Again, no matter how much you serve, it's all about accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Being good and working hard, attending church, does not earn you salvation. It's only through the blood of Christ that you're saved. Salvation is a free gift of grace given to those who surrender to Jesus Christ. So give your heart to him today if you've not done it. But we end this text with celebration. And today, I want to end this service with a celebration. Whether you're coming to the Lord for the first time, or whether you're coming back to be restored, either one calls for a celebration. Those who were dead are now alive. Those who were lost are now found. If you're dead, let God bring you to life. And if you're lost, let him find you today. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for being a forgiving Father, Lord. To be willing to forgive us, Lord, for our sins, to be willing to save us when we don't deserve salvation. But Lord, we know that we have all sinned. We know, Lord, that we all have fallen short. We all know that there are none righteous, no, not one. But Lord, we know that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And if we will just confess our sins, and if we will believe in Christ, that we too can have salvation. Lord, we also thank you, Lord, that even as Christians, Lord, we We mess up. Sometimes we fall into temptation, but we also know, Lord, that you are a forgiving Father. That you're a Father who is always there to embrace us when you ask us, whenever we ask you for forgiveness, Lord. And we do ask for forgiveness of our sins. And I pray right now, Lord, if there's anybody here that's never given their life to you today, Lord, today be the day of salvation. Lord, if there's anybody here, whether they've been openly backslidden or whether they've been hiding behind their service to you, Lord, but if there's anybody here that, Lord, needs forgiveness, Lord, that they will confess their sins to you, Lord, and that they'll serve you joyfully and with the right heart. Lord, bless this invitation. She's in my prayer.